We do like to follow up our discussion about your financial health with conversation about your physical health. And we do have, as our sponsors, the Sydney Adventist Hospital. Great institution. They've got fantastic professionals there, and they do harness at the Sydney Adventist Hospital the latest scientific advancements in health. They give you the attention, respect and care you deserve. That is whole person health care. And as a result of that relationship, we're able to speak with a cardiologist tonight from the SAN. We touched on this, in fact, in this segment a couple of weeks ago when Phil O'Neill was looking after the program. This is the link between oncology and cancer and cardio. And in relation to this, it's when you're going through a cancer treatment, too many of you would be aware of this. It can be chemotherapy, radiotherapy. It has a significant impact on the body. And then logically that can affect the heart, which is affected because it's essentially running the whole show. So I thought I'd have a conversation about this tonight. Dr. Harry Klimas, he's a cardiologist from the SAN. I discussed it with him earlier this evening.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, it's logical, isn't it, that the heart has a lot more strain when there's this intense treatment. Are there particular cancers or treatments that pose a higher risk or long-term risk?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Historically, the classic examples are a class of chemotherapy drugs called anthracycline. That's typically what you think of when you think about chemotherapy. And they're very effective for treating cancer such as breast cancer, lymphomas and leukemias even today. But these can in some patients weaken the heart muscle. And that's what we refer to as cardiotoxicity.
Yeah.
Radiation therapy to the chest area for lung or breast cancer, for instance, that can also cause long-term damage to heart valves or arteries, sometimes many years after the treatment has finished. And more recently, with the revolution in cancer care, we're seeing new challenges with therapies like immune checkpoint inhibitors, which are really just immune therapy-targeted drugs. And these drugs brilliantly unleash the body's own immune system to fight cancer, and they're very effective. But occasionally that immune system can also mistakenly attack the heart, and that can result in inflammation, and we call that inflammation myocarditis, and you can get a weakened heart from that. And
yeah,
that can sometimes be fatal.
And the inflammation, I think, with cancer and the heart is, I guess that's one of the critical things that needs to be dealt with, isn't it?
Definitely. You know, inflammation is really the common soil from which both of these diseases can grow. For decades, we've known that chronic low-grade inflammation is a key driver of heart disease. It helps build up those fatty plaques in our arteries that can lead to heart attacks. And we now understand that cancer itself creates a highly inflammatory state in the body. So you have like this situation where both the cancer and the body's response to it fanning these so-called inflammatory flames. And, you know, there's certain, then you have these certain cancer treatments that can even add more fuel to that fire. So kind of accelerating that heart disease risk, and it's really a true double hit.
Yeah, yeah. And we know we're still learning about genetics and how to handle genetics. Do genetics, we know, play a role in heart disease risk and some cancers. So can that be interrelated?
Yeah, I mean, you know, genetics is it's an evolving area of research, but the short answer is yes, genetics do play a role, and they're related. You know, we see that some patients sail through chemo with no heart issues, while others develop problems with the very same drugs, and that difference in susceptibility, it's likely influenced by someone's genetic makeup.
Yep.
There are certain shared genetic pathways that can predispose an individual to both cancer and heart disease, but really the research isn't there.
What about numbers here? Because I guess people hearing this said, well, I think, all right, well, I have to look out for the problems with my heart if I'm going through this treatment that I'm hoping is going to deal with this cancer. Is the number growing? Is it a common thing, what we're talking about here?
Yeah. The number is growing. And, you know, in a way, it's a consequence of success. As more people survive cancer and live longer, they live long enough to develop heart problems. And we know now that for some long-term survivors of certain cancers, their risk of dying from a heart-related issue is actually higher than the risk of the cancer returning.
Okay. Okay. So if someone's having cancer treatment, they have their heart checked, the heart's in good shape, but what you're saying is in those circumstances, it may be that something has been set in train, so you need to have those regular checks, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and those checks should happen really on day one. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to be dealing with a problem after it's already established.
Yep. So on day one, approach. So as you said, this develops down the track, but you see the problem immediately and then it starts to get worse. So you can have that early intervention. That what you're saying?
Yes, we can prevent it potentially by being aware of those risks and starting preventative therapy before someone even has cancer therapy.
Yeah. And what are the biggest challenges in treatment, really, of this particular heart condition?
The single biggest challenge I find, and a lot of people in my area do, is this balancing act. You know, our primary goal is to ensure the patient gets the most effective cancer treatment possible. Mm. We never want to stop or compromise that. Our job as cardiologists in this space is really to make sure that cancer treatment is safer for the heart.
Yeah.
And secondly, awareness, you know, both for patients and within the medical community. For a long time, these were treated as two separate issues, and we're now breaking down those silos, medical silos, and recognising you have to treat the patient as a whole, not just one disease.
Yeah, and I see a line here, multidisciplinary teams. So you've got people like yourself looking after the heart, people looking after the cancer. So you two get together and you might be saying, well, look, this is a potential risk here. Then you balance up what's being done, how the cancer's being treated to try and get the best outcome for the person.
Exactly. This is the cornerstone of modern cardio-oncology care, that, you know, the multidisciplinary team is essentially a medical round table. You know, the table, you've got the oncologist, the cardiologist, the nurses, the pharmacists. We're all discussing the individual patient's case together.
Yep.
So the oncologist will say, oh, this is the best treatment for the cancer. And the cardiologist will say, okay, well, here are the potential heart risks and here's our plan to mitigate them.
Mm.
It's quite collaborative and personalised.
Yeah, so if someone's undergoing treatment for cancer, really any cancer at the moment, and that can be quite an ordeal going through that, they should be aware of what's happening with their heart and there'll be a cardiologist involved, and this is now becoming the approach.
Exactly. It's becoming the new norm. You know, we're raising awareness and we're seeing more and more patients ask about their heart health when they're about to receive cancer therapies.
The heart's a remarkable thing, isn't it? That's what you do. But the notion, when you think about anything in the body where there's stress, there's a problem, the heart logically is going to have to work harder, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And we want to make that process easier. And we don't want to compromise cancer therapies as we're doing it.
Yep. Well, look, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. And it's most interesting, all of this. And I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of people listening to us tonight who might be directly or indirectly affected by both aspects of what we've talked about tonight. So, as always, very interesting. I thank you so much for your time tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
That was Dr. Harry Klimas. He's a cardiologist with the SANS, Sydney Adventist Hospital.